Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, everybody. This is Danielle Dixon, and welcome to Life Coach Radio. I am your host tonight, and I'm here with Tasha Cook and Tamara Cosley Robinson. We're going to be speaking tonight about active waiting. I will explain that to you momentarily, but what I'd love to do first is introduce Tamara and Tasha to you. I'll have them introduce themselves to you. I also want to give you guys a call-in number if you have any comments or any questions. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. I see that we have someone who's called in, and I will get to you momentarily with an 832 area code. But first, Tamara, go for it.
Thank you, Danielle, and thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your show. It's really nice being a guest.
You are welcome anytime.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. For all of our listening audience, my name is Tamara Cosley Robinson, and I am a life and career transitions coach, and I focus mainly on women who are in the space of being willing and ready to make career moves. I specialize in people who are either forced into change just due to stuff that happens in life, absolutely happens, or when, you know, folks are just wanting and needing change for their lives. So I work with people to work through the fears and the things that are blocking them from seeing themselves in a new space and in a new role. And most importantly, roles that make them happy. So to learn more about me, you can check me out on my website. It's dare and the number 2, doitnow.com. And I'm so happy to be here to talk about this great topic. It's one of my favorites. So thanks again, Danielle, for inviting me.
Of course. Thank you. And Tasha.
Hi, I'm Tasha Cook, and I am currently a speaking coach and working my way to open my consulting firm, which will be helping athletes transition from sports, transition from success on as far as sports into their personal development as well. I pretty much work with people in the areas of leadership and confidence, teaching them mindfulness practices so that they can be successful in anything that they do, whether it's personal or professional. So I hold a workshop also on Saturdays at 1 o'clock for speaking and to meet up, and that meetup is Speaking Practice Meetup. Also, you can look me up on my website at...
Thank you so much, Tasha. And I'm Danielle Gibson. I am a life coach, and I coach around a number of things, one of which is helping people who want to find their voice, be more direct and straightforward. And I'm also a core performance dynamic specialist. And what that means is I work with both athletes and anyone really who does performing any, of any sort, which is kind of all of us, try and basically look at things that influence what helps and what takes away from how we perform on a daily basis. And it's a really interesting specialty, and I'll have more to talk about that on future shows, but that's me. And so why don't we get down to the topic at hand, which is active waiting. And I think it's a really interesting topic because, well, for me especially, I'm impatient. I'm way more impatient than I ever actually thought I was. And going to coaching school and paying attention to a lot of ways that I behave in the world made me go, wow, you really don't want to wait for anything, do you? And so the notion of active waiting, it was really interesting because basically the fact that when we're waiting for a decision, whether it's a phone call or a job offer or somebody wants to get engaged or whatever it is, there's always like this sense of urgency, and which will change nothing, basically. Like, it will just make you feel crappy because you want something to happen faster than it's happening. And so you're holding on, you're not able to stay present, and you're kind of probably not looking at a lot of things that are also going on in your life. It's kind of like a standstill. And for active waiting, you know, what that kind of is the fact, it's talking about the fact that we are actually doing something during that waiting period if we want to, which is processing. We're basically, there's stuff that's going on in our lives, and if we can pay attention to what's going on, it's basically a change in attitude. It's going from the negative I can or I won't, or to I can and I will. And it can be a really freeing and uplifting experience. It's kind of a model for achieving patience. And so I kind of wanted to talk about that. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think for me, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I think for me, and it's a great intro to the topic, and I never really thought of what I was doing while I was in the process of working towards the different things that I wanted for my life. I never thought of it in terms of actively waiting. I felt like, especially if when it was for me in my relationship, that, you know, when things didn't go so well, I took time out to just pay attention to me, right? And so I just took time and was like, you know, this relationship thing isn't working. So to me, it was more like a time out to really get to know and love me. And in the meantime, all this other stuff was happening. And I don't believe in chance at all. I just believe that God or the universe or whatever it is that other people believe in has things in store, and I just need to do my part and other things will work together in order to make things come together for me. And so that's exactly what happened for me. It took a little bit of time, but I can see that if I didn't do some of those things, I wouldn't have been ready to meet the man that eventually became my husband. So, you know, it's not all for naught, but it's hard to see where you doing some of these things is actually going to culminate into something good for yourself. But hindsight is always 20/20.
Absolutely, and you know, it's you know, there are a number of kind of, you know, cliches which I've learned recently are cliches for a reason, because they're meaningful. And it's kind of like not being attached to an outcome is a big part of this, for me anyway, because if I think back to times when I've wanted a decision to happen or I've wanted whatever it is that I was holding on to, and in my mind, like, I was acting like a child, which is, I want it to happen now. I want it now. Well, I guess a good question is why? Why does it need to happen now? What kind of fantasy am I placing on this decision? Why am I giving up my own power here, waiting for the phone to ring, let's just say? And why do I need to feel like such shit in the process? And so, you know, it's literally putting stuff out there and not putting your life on hold or giving other people power. And as you said, it's literally like, I think there's an order, right? There are things that happen in the time that they're supposed to happen, and not, and also like allowing for processing time, which is something that happens in between experiences for me. And it, and processing is something that I've only learned, started to really think about as well lately, which is if something happens without me processing it, it's going to happen too soon. And what am I going to do with that final thing that I'm waiting for? So time is actually a really, it's kind of a gift in a way, that time that, that we wish didn't necessarily have to happen. I think it was kind of a gift. It's useful.
Yeah.
Pasha, what are your thoughts on this?
Active waiting is something that I am just kind of embracing because I've always been a person who wanted something, you know, had my mind set on something and wanted to get it in a timely manner. And timely is different to different people. Well, back then it was right now, hurry up. And so I'm starting to grow out of that, but I do realize that you can want something really, really badly, but it takes patience with yourself, and it takes also the effort in working towards that thing, and it takes time. Most of the time, if something is worth having, then it's going to take time most of the time to really have that thing, whatever it is. And what I tell some of the children that I talk to is when they tell me that things are hard, you know, because they live in this world where everything is immediate gratification with social media and everything going on, I ask them, I say, well, what have you ever done that was really worthwhile, that was easy, really, that had like a huge benefit to it? It takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes work. So this is something that I'm now embracing, and I understand more. So I'm working my way there. I'm working my way to get like you ladies.
Well,
I didn't say I was an expert.
No, but I mean, I don't think that anyone's an expert. I think that it's really just about an awareness, potentially. I mean,
yeah.
I think you brought up a really interesting point about, you know, I've said this for a long time, anything that's worthwhile, it takes time. It's work. If it came too easily, then it wouldn't be as valuable. And, you know, as far as like being a pro at this, I mean, for me, it really just started to dawn on me that when I was trying to use my superhuman power that I think I thought I had, to make something happen like an idiot, I thought, yeah, I could just will something to happen. All it really did was make me feel really like bad. It you know, closed, and there's a lot of energy that I was using when I wanted something to be different than how it was. Because ultimately, isn't that what we're kind of talking about? Wanting something to be different than how it is. And that's an internal struggle, instead of accepting what is,
right,
meaning, in this case, the passage of time to happen, we're trying to, I don't know what, honestly, what I'm trying to do.
Right.
I don't do that.
And you know what happens, Danielle, is that sometimes when it doesn't happen in the time that we feel that it should happen, we stop trying, or
yes,
we stop focusing. We'll just say, okay, well, that's not working, so I'm just going to go do something else and not put any more of our energy into whatever it is that we want. And sometimes when you want something, you don't necessarily have to be focused on it 24/7. You know, yes, I wanted a lasting relationship, but I found out that I didn't really like myself all that much. And so how can I expect anybody to first like me and then love me if I, being honest with me, didn't really like me? I'm like, oh, Lord. You know, I didn't hate myself, but I didn't necessarily love myself. So I just figured I would just spend some time focusing on me. And I was going to the gym, and I was doing other things, and I was getting involved in different things that were making me happy. And when you're happy, you start to attract happy. When you're stinky, you will attract stinky. And so, you know, we get to a place where you're like, oh, my God, it's always going to be X. Is it always going to be X? Well, in my mind, when you focus on X, that is all you're going to have is X. But if X is going to be something that's positive and uplifting, all of the other stuff may present itself, but you still don't have to choose it. So you know, there's just a lot to all of that.
There absolutely is. And, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, your show a few weeks ago about letting go.
Yes.
And it ties into that because ultimately you're not really letting go of it. It's still in your mind. You know, one of the things that a teacher I had said about an outcome, for example, is that you can certainly care about what an outcome is going to be, but you don't need to be concerned about it as it goes along, which kind of means you're letting go of it and you're paying attention to what's happening in the present moment or living in the moment. And there's always been an idea and you're not going to forget about it. I think there might be a lot of fear around the idea of if I don't like think about it constantly, then it's not like it's like we have some control over something. Like if we think about it, it will. If we don't think about it, it won't happen. If we do think about it, I mean, it's basically a bunch of stories, a story that we tell ourselves, I believe. And if you let go, and you've already put it out there, and hopefully in a positive way, like you're saying, you know, it's a really interesting notion about how we put things out into the universe. I was thinking about months ago. I was thinking about people's relationships to money, for example, and how saying I don't want to be broke and saying I want more money are saying the same thing, but it's not putting the same energy out there. For example,
right.
One of them is a negative, and one of them is a positive. And I think that the energy that goes along with wanting something to happen and the sense of urgency and also the negative energy, because I think it's, you know, it's kind of like akin to, in my mind, in the way I experience impatience is very similar to worrying about something, where if I worry about something, it changes nothing. My mother used to say to me, do I need to worry about you? And I would say, well, you can if you'd like, but it's not going to do anything. It's as if it were an activity. I'm going to worry about you now. It's like I'm going to take some time out. I'm going to worry. And that's kind of how impatience feels to me as well. It's just bad. It feels bad. And it has negative repercussions. So, you know, the notion of letting go, I think if you break it down, it's really, for me at least, it's really just like I put it out there. This is something I'd like to happen. I'm still working on the notion of manifesting because I don't have a total buy-in yet, but I think it's really interesting that it really ties in a lot to your show.
I think that also when you say waiting, waiting sometimes has a negative connotation to it. Like I know for me before, when you talk about waiting on something, it wasn't always attached to a good emotion. It was like, well, if you have to wait, that means that you're not getting what you want. So I think like a negative mindset is attached to waiting, and people fail to realize that you could be waiting on something and enjoying your life while you wait for that thing.
Mm.
I don't think that we think of that enough. That's how it was for me. But now I understand that in the meantime, and I read that book, too, by Ayanna Van Zandt. In
yes.
the meantime, you enjoy your life. You do things. You know that you put it out there. You know that you're working toward this goal. But at the same time, my thought is, what if I don't wake up tomorrow? Would I regret just sitting up here being all, you know, angry and upset about not having something that I want? And that kind of helps to steer me in the right direction of it, enjoying my life, getting out, doing some things that I like doing. And that'll come if it's supposed to come, because I am doing my part in preparing for that thing, whatever it is, whether it's me preparing for a relationship and working on myself or preparing for a business by studying and researching and stuff like that. But there is a way to enjoy waiting, but I don't think that most people think that when you say waiting, any positive thought comes to that. It's like waiting in line. People hate to wait in line. You know, it is an awareness, really.
I think that's a really good point. A really good point that the word waiting does not have a positive connotation. Right?
Yeah, and
it
I
never
think
really
the other
does.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about waiting almost implies that there is no motion. There's no action, and there's no movement. So if I'm waiting on something, it's almost as if, you know, you're sitting there tapping your fingers, you know, you're sitting there, you're waiting, you're not moving, you're not doing anything.
Right.
And so, you know, I never really thought about that, Pasha, but you're right. It can conjure up, if I'm supposed to sit here and wait, waiting really means that I'm really physically sitting and emotionally and all of that just being still. And that's not what we're talking about.
And I also think that there's a sense of helplessness that accompanies that as well. Like, I'm stuck on a line. I have no choice. I'm helpless. I am the victim here. I have to stand on this line, and that woman in front of me is so slow. She is in charge of my fate in this very moment, that person who just can't go faster. And
right.
And I think that, you know, when you're talking about helplessness, and so ultimately that's also feeling a little bit victimized. You know, one of the things that I read about when I was reading about active waiting was also the opposite of that, which is passive waiting. And what I read about is that there's a lot of, so passive waiting, and with respect to what you just said, Tasha, is literally, could also be called waiting, period. Because it's passive means you're not doing anything. It's you're basically expecting the worst, and that there's fear involved, because I think there's a lot of fear involved too when you think about the word waiting. It's like, what if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to? Which is what also, right? Again, something made up. Like, I really want that job. What if I don't get that job? That's a scary thought. Then you're not trusting you're not trusting yourself. You're not trusting your instincts. You're not seeing your life as important, and you're not valuing yourself because you have something negative attached to the, in your mind, you've created, if I don't hear, right? Because we're deciding how long it should be to get whatever answer or whatever. It's like your timeline is a choice you've made. It's arbitrary also, right? If I don't hear back, I haven't heard back in 2 days. Oh my God, that must mean something bad. As opposed to, I haven't heard back in 2 days, period. Like, or we don't know. Like, it's like your time frame for when things should happen can be different than another person's also. And then there are all of these interpretations that can start happening too. Why haven't I heard back? Not hearing back means it's a rejection. Not hearing back means they didn't like me. You know, it's really an amazing tool to hurt yourself, to judge yourself. In my world, I don't know if I'm sharing a little bit of my neurotic thinking, but you know, I think you're right. It is
say for instance, it's another person that you're waiting on to return an email or a phone call or something like that. Well, I know the times that I've gotten impatient or I witnessed someone being impatient is because we are attaching our values to that person.
Yeah.
Right? So because I would have in that predicament, even though we have no clue of what's going on the other side of that email or that phone line, we say, well, he or she didn't call me, but I would at least, what you would have done. Now you're attaching what you would have done to this person, but you're not living that person's life. So then you feel like waiting, or you have that mindset, well, they haven't done this and they haven't done that. And I've caught myself doing that before, where I was impatient and I was about to react and I stopped, and it may have been 24 hours, 48 hours later, the email came in or the phone call came in, because we are not them. And everybody functions differently, and I think that's a part of it too. We expect, especially when it's something that you really want,
yes,
you want that person to want it as much as you do, but they're not you.
Right.
Right.
So then it becomes something negative for you. And again, it comes with awareness, the awareness that we are all different. We all function differently. And if you wish to follow up, then do that.
Right.
just follow up and see. But right. You know, another position of that is fear, because then you feel like, well, maybe they're going to take it this way and maybe they're going to take it that way. So it starts to jump into assumptions and wanting people to think like us. So it's so many dimensions to it.
Yeah.
But you have to learn that whatever is to be will be, and you just do what you can. That's it. And that's simple.
Right.
That's simple, simplifying it, but that's all you can really do.
That's so true, Pasha. It's so true, and you have made up all kinds of stories about it, too. You know? I know she didn't like me anyway. You know?
Yeah.
She's doing this on purpose. You know, she always does this to me. And, you know, you're just working yourself up. You know, you're like a rabid dog, right? You're just foaming at the mouth and behaving badly. And it's like, you know, all you need to do is, like, ask a question. If you really wanted something urgently, or if you wanted something in a certain amount of time, what's wrong with just asking, you know?
Exactly.
You know, when you talk to that person, you know, can we do this? Can you have something back to me in a couple of days? You know, it's very simple. You know, asking questions is like the it's the meaning of life. Anytime
it's nirvana.
It really is. It's ridiculous how we can just... We talk to ourselves and we believe ourselves, which is probably the first thing and second thing that we've done that needs correcting. And then we go based on what we think, and that's not factual. And then, you know, we make it as bad as it could possibly be, and we haven't asked one question. We haven't asked one question.
And that's a whole other
it's
subject.
It's true, and you know, I'll speak for myself when I say very often it's like, I, you know, and not asking questions is also a way of devaluing yourself, because you don't have the right. It's almost like, it, you know, and you can create scenarios over that too. Well, what if I asked a question and she was going to hire me and now she's not going to? And like literally, you could pretty much do every single, like if you want to, which I've done, pretty much you could pretty much sabotage every single thing. And what that really comes down to, at least it has for me, is anxiety. It's kind of like free. It's anxiety attached to something for me. And again, prior to, you know, studying to be a coach, I would never have thought about. And also, it's exhausting. I'm like, I don't do it anymore as much, if ever, because I can't do it anymore because I don't have the energy to make up stories. It takes too much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, really, you're going to do it again? You're going to do it? You're really going to do it? Do you, like, seriously, do you not have anything else to do? So, yeah. So I think that, you know, it's kind of a, the notion also that waiting can be positive, and that there's actually something positive happening in that moment, in that period of time, is really something that's a different way of looking at it. And for me, I kind of like it. It's like, it's not like I'm laying idle. Stuff's going on, even if it's not actually physical, something you can see. Something's happening in my head.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that before, and we called it, instead of waiting, maybe people should call it the incubation stage. Like we talked about,
yes.
Where you don't see it. You know, you may not even feel it at first. But there is something going on. If you're actively working towards something and you don't see results immediately, something is going on, because you're putting things out into the atmosphere. You're putting things out into the universe. And whether you like it or not, it's going to bring back something. You're going to have a reaction out of that. So try to make it something that you actually want to happen, right? With all the negative chatter, and we all have it, and it's never going away. You just know how to implement practices that help you in that area. But you have the negative chatter. Start telling yourself what you really want and understand that you'll get it in time, because everything that you want takes preparation to get it. I don't want anything that I have my eyes on and then I'm not prepared, because I'll lose it. I lose
mm-hmm.
it probably as quickly as I gained it. And that's not how I want my life to go. I want to be prepared for whatever that thing is, and that has begun to help me have patience, to form patience, because I know that I don't want to be one of those people that had whatever success and then it went away because I wasn't prepared. It came too quickly. So therefore, I try to celebrate the small victories
Yes.
Knowing that they'll get me to the larger one, whatever that is and whatever that's supposed to be.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed. I you know, last night at the event that I spoke at, I actually said that, you know, and I've been one, I'm very goal-oriented, type A, recovering perfectionist, and so, you know, if you're anything like me, you see that there's this checklist and there's stuff to get done, and you get it done, you get this one thing done, you check it off your list, and then you're on to the next thing. And it's like, well, you know, you got to live your life in between all of this other stuff, and just accepting that the process includes you celebrating the successes that you have, and knowing that and believing, and I think that's another word that we can talk about at some point, believing that it is one step closer to wherever it is that I'm going. Really important. That's so true, Pasha.
And it's comforting, I think, to mm-hmm. just know that if you can kind of, for lack of a better phrase, give in to yourself and go and really, really fully trust that there is that time is essential for a lot of things, that and you're ready to go, you know, and you're like me and you're like, I literally can't be so self-critical and judgmental and all those things that come along with impatience for me. It's kind of like, oh my God, I can just not do it. How amazing is that to not do it? And it's not like it's easy. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking on a tightrope still. Like I might slip and start going a little bit insane and neurotic, the neurotic thinking, but I'm going to try because it's just easier. Mm-hmm. Now, after like years of working on myself, it just seems to be the path of least resistance for me.
Yeah.
So, on that note, we are just over 30 minutes into our hour, and it's time to speak about our sponsor. And Tamara has offered to do that.
Certainly, Danielle.
Away.
Thank you. And so, as you heard earlier in the show, our sponsor is audible.com. And for those who, I'm sure that there's many that understand what audible.com is, and they are sponsors of our show, and they are the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. And so there are more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on anything, any device that you use to listen to, music and even what you're listening to our show on right now. So our offer for you this evening is that you can sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And when you do, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. So basically, you get one free audiobook, and you'll understand and see how the service itself works for 1 month. And so it's great. I've started to listen to books now that I'm in the car more often than not, and it's a different way of taking in the things that we normally read. You know, I just love to engage my senses, and sometimes taking it in by reading it with my eyes is one thing, but you know, it's definitely good to try out listening to a book. So audibletrial.com. You're welcome.
I concur. I agree with you. Thank you for that, Tamara.
You're welcome.
There's someone that's been on hold. I believe that it's at the 832 number that he or she's been listening, but I'm just going to pick you up right now and see if you have any comments. Since we've just been talking straight for 30 minutes. So 832 area code, hello.
Hi, ladies. I'm just listening in.
Okay. So I'll mute you. You don't, no comments, no thoughts about this, how it affects you, or is anything resonating with you?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm enjoying the conversation. I don't have any comments to today.
Okay. I'll put you on hold. I'll mute you then. Thank you. Okay. So I'm trying to think about you know, like Tasha, you were saying that, you know, there's something that you're working on trying to be more patient. How's that working for you? Like, what are you doing to try and work on that? How are you catching yourself, I guess?
By participating, like, more actively in my thought process about things and understanding where I'm going and knowing that doesn't just happen overnight. And so that helps me to be more patient with, you know, looking into my future. Also, being patient with yourself helps you to be more patient with other people. I realize how important it is for me to gain patience in my life, especially in the field the industry that I'm in. You have to have patience with yourself because that won't transition over to other people if you don't have it here. So I actively try to practice what I preach. And by doing that allows me to have more patience with myself. But as anyone else, I'm still human. I have my moments, but my recovery time is a lot shorter than it used to be. It doesn't happen as frequently, and the recovery time is shorter for me. So that's why I say I'm still working. And who knows, I'll probably be working the rest of my life, but as long as I'm getting better, that's all that matters to me because I know where I come from.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think recovery time is a great term. I use it a lot as well when, I have a certain, there's some button pushing experiences that I have that I can say, whereas I could have like kind of been down for the count or out for the count for days afterwards, instead of it taking me days to recovery time taking for days, it could literally just be, like 20 minutes, which is a miracle for me. And I feel like I dodge a bullet every time it does not take, every time I don't go into the crazy place. That's my, I used to live there, crazy land. Danielle's crazy land, special formula of crazy. And so the recovery time, I think it's a really great, a great phrase. How is that for you, Tamara, as far as that goes? Is it noticeably different for you?
So this is around patience and just being good with the active waiting space.
Or in general, like, you know, the way that you, when you notice something that's happening that kind of, I mean, it's a little deviation, but something that's happening that there was a time where you would have gotten caught up in it. The way can get caught up in wanting something to happen, and what does that do to you? How does that make you feel? And how long does it, you know, did it take? And versus, you know, how long does it take for you to get out of it now?
Yeah, I have to agree, and you know, my answer is a little bit similar to Pasha's, but I, you know, as I've matured over time, I've seen it enough in my life to know that there's something that is happening that's special right now with this particular thing. And although it may frustrate me that it's not necessarily happening in the way that I thought it should or could, I actually get to a place of gratitude, even in the discomfort. It still hurts, but I'm grateful that whatever is happening because it means that I'm just that much closer. And it's only because I think that I've experienced enough of the, you know, that in-between space, that meantime space, to know that whatever is happening for me is really happening. And so, you know, I think it's easier to take and easier to take in when it's something that you've been working on for a while, and then something new gets introduced into your life and you're immediately impatient, or at least I am. Right. So, you know, I have this newfound life of mine and I'm working on building my business and I just want it right now. I'm like, why not? I mean, geez, I mean, it can happen right now already. I'm like, what's the problem? It's taking right. too long. And then I'm like, let me just take my time, because if it came the way that I wanted it to, I wouldn't be ready for it and I wouldn't appear to be the professional that I would want to appear to be on the outside, and then me being prepared to handle all of the things that I will eventually be able to handle. So it's a give and take, and you have to remind yourself, and that's when you have trusted people around you who can tell you to slow your roll and stop acting crazy, and you're doing fine, and you are different today than you were 3 weeks ago, and so, you know, hold your horses
a
little bit. Or even yesterday. How about that?
Or yesterday. Right. And, you know, and what's also interesting, you know, you say, why can't it happen right now? You know, if you actually stopped yourself and said, well, what does it actually even mean, it? What is the it? And, you know, one of the things that it made me think about was that with relation to building a business, because we're all doing that. For me, I can tell you that I change my mind all the time. Like, based on things that happen, my perspective changes. Mm-hmm. And so whatever not, you know, undefined, defined idea of what it would be today will look very different in next week, potentially, because, well, what kind of conversations am I going to have in between? What am I going to read that I'm going to have in between? You know, what ideas am I going to get from all of this that will happen that may not happen, have the chance to happen if I were all of a sudden immersed in this business. That again, I'll go back to the word processing, which is experiences that are happening externally and how I'm reacting to them internally that formulates an idea that better directs the way that I am going to proceed in my life. Wouldn't happen.
Right.
Does that make sense? Because I'm almost not following myself right now.
I think we live in a culture also, even though, you know, we're not in our 20s, but that's okay. We live in a culture where if you pay attention to what's out there, say, I don't watch a lot of television, but, you know, television, internet, the theme is I'm busy or I'm grinding. And to be always busy and to always be grinding means that, are you making time for yourself? Mm. And see, sometimes I feel like things happen because we don't know how to make time for ourselves, so the universe is going to do it for you.
That's
not
right.
Giving you what you want at that time sometimes. Because if you listen to the outside noise, the distractions, and you don't have an awareness, it's easy to really get caught up in, Be busy, do something, because it's always, you know, it's always people out there, people in social media telling you that they're busy, that they don't sleep, all this nonsense. And so people are looking at this like, well, I need to be doing this to get to that level, and I need to be doing it. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't want to be at that level. Yeah, you know, it's about kind of phasing out the distractions in your life. And, again, I'll keep saying awareness and mindfulness and understanding who you are.
Yeah,
and what you need, because you need recovery.
Yes, you do.
You need mental health. You need physical health, and you need emotional health. And if you're always attaching yourself to the outcome and everything that you want in your life, how are you going to have those things?
Yeah, it's just going to be one big fat list of stuff. And when you get to the end of your life, you're like, what in the devil was I doing? You know?
You thought you wanted, and then 2 days later, it was like, okay, well, I got that. Now I'm on to the next thing. Like you
right,
said.
Right, and not really celebrating it. I was sharing with someone. I'm a mentor coach, and you know, one of the things that I was sharing is, when you work in New York, there's this unwritten rule that you have to run people over and
right.
run yourself ragged, and you behave in such a crazy way. I mean, yes, it's a different pace, and I get that, but there are other places in the United States where people make a good living, and there's balance in their life. They, like, leave work at 5 o'clock and they have, you know, a lot of things that we say we want, but, you know, there's this thing called this grind that you talk about, Pasha. And so the wake up call for me this past year, I hurt my foot a couple of years ago, and, you know, and I said a couple of years ago, and that's ridiculous. And I didn't go see a doctor about it. It's going to get better. I'll just get another pair of sneakers, blah, blah, blah. And it got worse and worse. And so it got to the point where it hurt to walk, and really was my gait was all jacked up. My back was starting to hurt. And I go to the doctor, and she puts this boot on my foot. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. And I'm commuting to New York. And so if anybody has had one of those black boot things, you cannot walk fast. You can't do anything fast. You can't turn quarters fast. You can't do you're not doing anything fast. And life started to really make sense for me when I slowed down. And so that was my wake-up call. First of all, don't ignore pain. Second of all, you're not taking care of yourself when you're ignoring pain. And second of all, why are you moving so fast? Why are you doing that? I was walking down streets and not even seeing people. You know, it was Christmas time, and there were lights, and I was like, I don't really care, you know. It's crazy. It's stupid. And so when that happened, I was much more aware of older people, you know, who aren't moving as fast, and I need to slow my roll. I can't be running them over. One day I'm going to be one of those people. Why am I running? I need to be helping somebody. If I'm impatient, it's not anybody but me. I need to adjust me. So it was so much, so enlightening how that boot, and you know what I did? I keep that boot where I can see it. Yes.
Yeah.
It's my
good
reminder to slow it down, sister, because, you know, if it's the boot this time, it could be something more serious, and I don't want that. So, you know, those
what
reminders.
If you just put the boot on sometimes?
No. I don't need the boot unless I have to. No. Have you ever worn one? You wouldn't say that if you ever wore one.
I'm totally kidding. But you know what's interesting about what you just said also is that, so you actually physically hurt yourself, and, you know, maybe you hurt yourself because you were in a rush and you turned your foot or whatever, you know, like it could have been the way that you were physically interacting with the world that did it. You know, I don't know the specifics, but what I think is really interesting also is that sometimes it's not something like that. It could be you get the flu or, you know, and your body is basically screaming at you saying, okay, you're not going to slow down. So I'm going to make you
slow you down. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's interesting. I had a jewelry line for 5.5 years, and I did not know this, but I was terrified of it. And I'm a very strong believer of the mind-body connection. And I had a really bad sciatica for 2 months. And so I'm not joking, even though I can be prone to hyperbole, I am not joking when I say that I literally could not, I was crawling around my apartment. I could not walk. I literally was on my stomach in my living room making my jewelry. And I mean, I was in extraordinary pain, but talk about slowing me down. It didn't slow me. It's literally, I could not move. And I was like, wow, that body is a really powerful thing. Your mind is a really powerful thing. And, you know, I coached someone today even who prides herself. And I always think this is very funny when people are like, I pride myself on never getting sick. I'm like, why is that something to be proud of? I don't understand. But the fact of the matter is that we had a major kind of breakthrough today. And had she not been sick, she wouldn't have had the time to have our session. And what happened in our session would not have happened today. Who knows when it would have happened. So if you look at it that way, right, I mean, something positive came out of that. And that happens often, something positive coming out of something negative.
Right.
Right.
It's all perspective. Go ahead, Pasha.
I think that also what I try to remind myself of and I share with others is that you could be running, Tamara.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Running, and actually be the hamster in the wheel.
That's
like,
right.
You're really running too so quickly.
Nowhere.
Yeah, running, just spinning your wheels. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I think it's important to slow down and to get some kind of awareness and just get still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can begin to sift through some of this thing. I think that if people would filter some of the stuff that they do, they'll realize that a lot of it they don't even need. And some of the things that we want it right then. But if you just sleep on it for a while, that need sometimes just goes away because it really wasn't a need in the first place. So
no, it was sexy. It was like, you know,
yeah.
If other people have it, then I'm supposed to want to have that. And then, you know, you're not living anybody else's life but your own. And, you know, that's the thing, you know, with me, I've never been one of those people that have to be on the edge of fashion. I think nice things are nice. But, I will make the money scream leaving my hand. I just don't. And I've gotten better at it because I know I can't take it with me. But my thing is that there's a certain life that I want to live, and it's comfort, but it doesn't need to be extravagant.
Right.
As long as it fits and it looks good and I take care of things, I can wear a suit for 10 years. You're like, what? Yep. Same size, and I can rock it for 10 years. And when it's time to let it go, I'll let it go, and I'll get another one that I can keep for a long period of time, but I don't have to be on the edge. And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with anybody that needs to. It's just a choice of mine. But it is easy to get caught up in, I see what she has, that shiny object, or I see what he has, or I see what someone else is doing in their business, and I need to move faster or look like I'm moving faster. I can go nowhere fast in order to have what they have, and instead of appreciation of my own journey.
Can I ask you guys something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When do you decide that you need to let go of whatever that is because you've been waiting on it so long? Like some things I feel like you can decide, you know what, maybe it's time to let that go. And then some things, when do you decide what and when to let go?
That's a good question.
Some people have that issue, you know?
Yes. Can I, the first thing that came to me, Pasha, was when it becomes something that's not important to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can be years and years and years. Or it doesn't have the same appeal. If the waiting is creating a space where I'm not liking myself, and the way that I'm interacting with the world, then I'm more apt to let it go. That's what came to my brain there.
And for me, I can tell you what doesn't help me, which is say I'm going to let this go, like it's a thought, because very often what I'm letting go of is emotional, and until it gets to the point where it isn't important anymore, letting go, making the actual choice to let go, even though I know all of the good reasons to not be, try and be attached to some sort of outcome. For me, it happens organically. I have it in my mind that it would be the right thing to do. That's when it starts, right? It's kind of like I'm aware of, only recently I'm aware of how I will hold on to wanting something to be a certain way. And then I'm like, I realize it's been a long time, and you know, part of it, I get bored sometimes with it. And then there's the awareness, the knowledge that it is going to either happen in its own time or it's not going to happen. And I have to be fine with either of them because I have no choice. Because ultimately, it's not in your control. If you have exhausted all of the sane methods that you could think of, and you don't act like a crazy person to try and get something, it's not anything that you can, you know, you have no control. So it's kind of like remembering that, or reminding myself of that, and going, and also being at a point where something else comes in that, you know, takes its place. Because very often being impatient and wanting something to happen, or wanting whatever it is you want, I think it would be a really good idea to ask yourself why. Also,
yeah.
Why do you want it?
Hmm.
Why
That's
is
powerful.
It so very important that it is all consuming?
Right.
Right.
And go ahead. There's a lot of thinking going on here.
Okay. I was thinking about this the other day in terms of the word success. You know, I was thinking, why is success really important to me, first of all? And second of all, what does that even mean? Because ultimately, if you're working on your own business, you want to be successful. And it was the first time I ever thought about asking myself, well, what does that even look like for me, and why? Am I trying to prove something to me or to someone else, or is it gratifying and that's a positive thing? I mean, you know, as a coach, that's kind of what you do. You dissect words. And I'm like, well, what's the whole thing with success anyway? What is that? Is it what I want, or is it what society told me I should want? You know, so that
good
was
question.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
But asking yourself why you're holding on to something is a good way to start, I think.
Agree. I believe that.
Tamara, you were going to say something?
Go ahead, Tamara.
Oh.
No, go right ahead, Pasha.
For me, it's when it starts to affect me mentally too much, or it starts to affect me in a negative way, whether I have to let go because of me not being able to take my mind off of that. You know, does that make sense? Like, if
yes.
It starts to affect me with negative emotions, and then those negative emotions start to make me feel a certain kind of way in my body, then it's like, okay, whatever this thing is, you got to let it go. You may still want it, but you got to start to focus on something else, because
yes.
Maybe you don't need it if it's affecting you in this way.
Right.
And I think that is a good question to ask yourself is, does this mean that much to me that I have to be negatively affected in my mind and my body? Nothing is worth my sanity. Nothing is worth my peace. So maybe I need to revisit this another time.
And right.
But it can be meaningful, Tasha, without you doing that too. Like it's, you know, I think a lot of the reasons why stuff goes on that makes us sick is because it's a distraction also. You're focusing on something in such a huge way because you don't want to deal with something else. I think that there's that possibility too. Again, you can care about it. It's not like you don't, it's not like you, but I think understanding why you care about it and just kind of going, yeah, I care, but I got other things I need to do too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think all of that is true, and all of these things are, you know, the things that we're explaining right now are really based on our lives, and it, you know, everything that happens for everyone is very individual. And I think a lot of times the old adage, misery loves company, if we are comfortable in that miserable space because we've experienced it for so long, sometimes we will choose that because we don't know how to be happy. And we don't know how to be satisfied in our lives. And we see other people, but we don't see ourselves in that space of possibility that we could even be close to being what we think is happy, whatever that is. And so, you know, part of a letting go process for me that I have, you know, when I think back, because, you know, it's everything is very clear, 2020 in our hindsight. I was in a relationship way back when. And I absolutely knew that I needed to walk away from that relationship, stayed in it longer than I needed to. Of course, you blame yourself and you shoot on yourself and you tell yourself you're ridiculous and you're weak, and you know, you just tear yourself down for being in that relationship longer than you should have been. But the fact of the matter is, I wasn't ready to be alone. And so part of it was, what's so bad about being alone? And see, there's a difference between alone and being lonely. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's then breaking down. So what is it that you're going to be without? If you're going to be miserable, you can do that by yourself. Like, really? What are you doing? And so, you know, everybody has threshold. Everyone has their own threshold, right? For how long does it take? It's going to take as long as it takes. And so for some people, their threshold is like 2 seconds. Oh, look, I ain't got time for this. And there's some people that'll be like, okay, after 5 years, I think this isn't working. Well, there's no, we judge ourselves, but there's no judgment. It's so refreshing to be able to look back and say, you know what, if I hadn't stayed in that crazy relationship that long, I still would not be in the relationship I'm in right now. So in as much as the pain and all this other bull crap that was going on, the fact of the matter is it all created who I ended up being, and that was ready for the right relationship. So it's funny when you look back, and I know why I was doing it. And so, and it often applies to other parts in our lives that we end up not wanting to let go of. But, it, you know, you've already been through this once, so you know how it goes, and you get better at being able to say, okay, I think it's time.
Yeah. Right, and I also think that Tasha, there, if you really pay attention to your intuition, that I'm guessing that every time you did allow, you know, patience to enter into the equation or letting go, you knew it was time. There's a readiness that you just have. It's literally that you're ready. And I'm really happy about the, you know, I there are a lot of things going on in my life right now that I knew I had to do. I know they're going to run their course. I know that there's still more to get from certain things, even if they're not the healthiest. I'm aware that my intuition tells me that if there's something to get. And so, it will run its course. And I think it's really comforting.
Yeah. I think that when you open up to what's ahead of you without trying to attach yourself to what you feel like you have to have, then life becomes beautiful to you, because you'll start to see things that you weren't able to see because you were so distracted. You start to meet people that resonate with who you are now by allowing yourself to just let some things be and to be patient with yourself. I think you just have to learn how to be patient and love yourself through whatever it is. Just love yourself through, because you deserve that, right? If nothing else, we deserve to have peace and to love and to love ourselves, and that helped me to open myself up to new environments, new experiences, and not holding myself hostage to what I used to. So that helped me, and I hope that I can continue to share the message to help other people as well as I continue to grow, because it is a growth, you know. So I appreciate being on here with you ladies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was awesome. Any closing comments, you guys? We are done with the 60 minutes, as we know it goes quickly with us.
I don't know how that happened.
We can hang out for another 26 minutes if you want to, but because that's how long the show has been, you know. But any word? I'm good. I think that, you know, I think what Tasha just said is amazing. But Tamara, anything else you want to add before we say see ya?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Danielle, and thank you, Pasha. You guys are amazing individuals, and we always, yes, we can talk for hours. And it's always good, and it's always meaningful. And so thank you for this forum. The one thing I'd say to people is to be patient. I shouldn't say be patient with yourself, because we've been talking about that. I would say to give yourself a break.
Mm-hmm.
Me being the type A, like I said earlier, the recovering perfectionist, and very competitive and all these other things, we get to a place where we expect so much of ourselves. And so for those overachievers out there, give yourself a break. You're only human, and, you know, the best is yet to come. Surround yourself with supportive people who can hold space for you, even if it's just to sit and listen, because a lot of times we just need to talk. So, you know, just to get to a place where you can be supported in your active waiting. What's for you will come for you, and enjoy your life in the meantime.
Yes.
That's great. Pasha, anything? Or are you good?
I think I'm going to let it go with Tamara. That was great. I'm inspired.
No, it was good. It was very good, Tamara.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, for having
thank
me.
You. Thank you, Tamara, and thank you, Pasha. Thanks for all of you who are listening. We'll check back with you on our next show, because we're just going to continue this conversation for the next 2 weeks, and we'll just pick up and start recording ourselves again soon. Okay. Thank you, you guys.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.